Hello, that's better. Sorry, is that gentleman? So I was saying, it's great to have everybody together, our whole church family. It's great to have our babies, children, young people, adults, older people, Alistair. It's great to have everybody gathered together this morning. So I'm trying not to be too long this morning, because I'm aware that there's lots of babies and children maybe getting fidgety. But if they do fidget, do make a noise, don't worry. Honestly, if there was silence, that would be more off-putting for me. The way my house has been the past few weeks, silence is actually quite distracting. So don't worry if there's a wee bit of noise. It doesn't distract me at all. But we're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to look at the book of Daniel this morning. And George Robb is going to come and read to us from Daniel chapter 6. And George, if you can tell us what verse you're starting in, because I've forgotten. Daniel chapter 6.
Yeah, we'll start at verse 6. So, these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep.
Thank you, George. Okay, I wonder, have you ever been afraid or have you ever been scared? I'll be honest, I have been scared. I'm thinking of starting back to school, starting maybe a new year, starting a new class, or even starting a new school. I'll be honest, whenever I started high school in particular, I was absolutely terrified. And I also had an experience this summer. This summer I was on a camp, and we went to this place, one of the most amazing places I've ever been to. And it's in Armagh. Now, Armagh is amazing enough, if you've ever been there. But this was a place, and I've lived near this place for lots of years before, and I never knew this place existed. But you go down this road, and I've been on this road loads of times, but it turns out if you turn off and go down a lane, you come to this big wall. And if there's a big gate, and if you go inside this wall, through the gates, you come to this amazing place. And it's set right by a lake. And there's an assault course where you can run and you can go and play. And it's an amazing assault course. There's a big play park with all sorts of rides and slides and swings. And on the lake, there's a jet ski and a banana boat and these big bubble things that you can get inside and run on the water. I lived like 10 minutes away from this place and I never knew it existed. It's amazing. But even better than that, if you go on down a wee bit, there's lots of animals and there's lots of birds. There's pheasants and peacocks and all sorts of strange birds. But we met the guy who ran the place, and he said, we'd like to see the other animals, they're really good animals. And we said, well, yeah, I would love to see the animals. So he took us over, and he showed us this here. And he said, well, if you want to see the animals, you're going to have to get into one of these here, because they're a bit of a drive away. I said, no problem, no bother getting into one of those. And he said, but there's two of them, and if you want to bring some of the young people you have with you, you're going to have to drive. Well, okay, this is starting to sound not quite as good, but okay, I'll give it a go. How hard could it be? Steering wheel, I can drive a car, I'm sure I can drive this. So I jumped into the driver's seat, and about four or six young people in the back, and the one that I was driving actually wasn't even quite as nice as that. It was nowhere near as new, a bit older and a bit rickier, and it was more wood than you see there. So anyway, I got in, we started driving up this hill, and we came to, I think first of all, it was goats, but they weren't just ordinary goats, they were pygmy goats or miniature goats, these wee tiny, tiny goats, and he fed them, and he took a goat out and let the young people see it and pat it, and it was lovely. And then we went on a wee bit more, and then there was llamas. There was llamas, this is an Armagh. There was these llamas, we got to see them. And then there was a wallaby. If you've ever heard of, know what a wallaby is, a wallaby is basically like a kangaroo. There was a wallaby in Armagh. It's brilliant we got to see this. And then on, and alpacas and emus. It was great. And we went up and up this hill, and it was great. And we finished the animals. And he said, okay. He says, would you like to see the rest of the estate? Just big, lots of fields. And so, okay, let's see around. And then he started driving. So far, so good with the driving. But we started going up the hill, and it was okay when it was a straight line. But all of a sudden, we started turning these corners. And the other guy, he was driving in front, and he had driven these lots and lots of times before. So he was going quite fast, and I wasn't going quite so fast, but I was trying to keep up with him. And he'd come up the hill, and then there'd be a sharp corner, and I was trying to turn the corner. But the problem was, whenever you turned the steering wheel, the wheels didn't really turn as much as you turned the steering wheel. So it was pretty hairy. Nearly ended up in the ditch a few times, but eventually we managed to get up this hill, a very steep hill. So glad that's nearly over. And I thought, we've gone up this really steep hill. We're going to have to come down it to get back down again. But I thought, it's okay. I've got my steering wheel, got my brake. We'll be fine. And whenever we were up at the top, he came over to me and he says, now, we're going down this hill. The brake doesn't work. So just kind of use the handbrake and stay close behind me. And if you feel your slip and just crash into me, give me a bump and you'll be fine. Okay. So many prayers were said by me, and we were setting off downhill, and he just whizzed off, and I couldn't even see him, so I had no hope of bumping into him. He was away, and he started off, there was a bit of a, down this big steep hill, and I just bent away around to the right. So he whizzed off down the hill and bent away around to the right and away out of sight, and I went down the hill, and straight into the fence. Eventually found reverse, got out, and if I was scared, I don't know how the people in the back felt. But eventually we managed to get ourselves way down to the bottom, and I was glad that that was over. But you know, I'm not afraid to admit that I was terrified. I was scared because I was in charge. I had the steering wheel, and I was supposed to have the brake, which didn't work. But I was in charge, but I wasn't really in control. And you know, if I had been sitting in the other man's jeep, if I had been sitting in his jeep, I probably wouldn't. I don't think I would have been scared. The other young people, they weren't scared because he was in charge and he was in control. Whether we're scared or not depends on who is in control. And we're going to think a wee bit very briefly from Daniel. And Daniel was in a situation where he wasn't in control. Daniel wasn't in control of his situation. And it was a really scary situation. But you know what? Daniel wasn't scared. He was brave. So we're going to think, how did he do this? How he wasn't in control, but he was brave. Now, who was Daniel? Daniel was an old man. Sometimes we think of Daniel in the Bible as being this young man, but by the time we come to this story in Daniel, Daniel is actually an old man, possibly even older than Alistair, if you can believe that. Now, we don't know what Daniel looked like, but he possibly looked something like that there. So Daniel was a very important man. One of the most important people in the whole country. He was second only to the king. Okay, so if you picture this king, big crown, big throne, really, really important. Whatever the king said, he could do. He could tell people to do anything, and they would do it. And Daniel was, if you like, his right-hand man. Daniel was so, so, so important. And then there was these other guys, though. And they were kind of not just as important as Daniel, but still very important. And you know what? They didn't really like Daniel. They didn't like the fact that Daniel had all this power, that he was so close to the king, and that Daniel was in this position. And they were a bit jealous of Daniel. And as George read out, these guys, they got together And they thought, we don't like Daniel. And they didn't like him. And you know what? They didn't like Daniel's God either. They didn't like the fact that Daniel worshipped the one true God. Daniel loved God and served God and worshipped him. And they thought, we don't like Daniel. We don't like his God. Let's try and get him. We're going to get him. It's a sad thing that people do that. But you know what, boys and girls, you might be starting school. And I hope this has never happened to you. Oh, missed a few slides. Yes, so they went and they spoke to the king. And they were going to try and get Daniel. And they said to the king, look, they thought, how can we get Daniel? How can we get rid of Daniel? And they thought, let's have a plan. And they said, king, how about if you make this law and you say that everybody, the whole country, is going to have to pray to you for 30 whole days. You're not allowed to pray. You know the way we pray to God, we pray to Jesus, and ask him for all sorts of things. They said, nobody's allowed to pray to God. Nobody's allowed to pray to Jesus. They're only allowed to pray to the king. And if that somebody came to you and said, this week, I'm not going to pray to God. I'm going to pray to you. I'll tell you what, this whole church, we're not going to pray to God. We're going to pray to a person. What would you think? You think you're being really, really silly. Because I know if two people try to talk to me at the same time, I can't understand. I can only really listen to one person. Naomi says I can't even do that, especially when the TV's on. But I can only listen to one person while they're talking to me. Never mind lots of people talking to me at the same time. And never mind lots of people praying and maybe not even speaking what they're saying. How could all these people pray to a man and expect him to answer their prayers? It's really, really silly. But whenever the people came to the king actually thought, you know what? I quite like that idea. Because it means that all the people were going to be worshipping him and saying, oh, king, you're so great, you're so wonderful. And the king actually thought, okay, let's do this. Let's make a law and said everybody has to bow down and pray to me. But these people who didn't like Daniel, they knew what Daniel would do. They knew Daniel wouldn't do it. They knew that Daniel wouldn't pray to the king, that he would only pray to his God. But these people, they were out to get Daniel. And you know, boys and girls, you may be going to school, you may be going to big school, or wherever you are, but there are times whenever people will have a problem with Jesus. People often have a problem with Jesus. It happened to Daniel, and Daniel wasn't a young person. Not just something that happens in school. It happens to all of us, to everybody, and it's happened throughout all of time. You go all the way back to the very first people. There was Adam and Eve, and they had two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain hated Abel because of his relationship with God, so much so that he even killed his brother because of his relationship with God. So people having a problem with God and having a problem with our faith isn't something that's new. It's something that's happened all throughout time. And so, boys and girls, if you go into school and if you tell your friends or tell people in your school, I'm a Christian. Yesterday I was at church and I love Jesus and I pray. Don't be surprised if sometimes people maybe have a problem with that. Don't be surprised if people maybe, I hope it doesn't happen, but sometimes it can happen, that people might make fun of you or might have a problem with your faith. We shouldn't be surprised when this happens. And you know, we shouldn't be surprised, and also we shouldn't take it personally. If someone has a problem with your faith, it doesn't mean that they have a problem with you. It doesn't mean that you're to blame. The Bible tells us that people will have a problem with the Bible. People will have a problem with Jesus and his message. It's always happened. So people very often have a problem with Jesus, and we shouldn't be surprised, and we shouldn't take it personally that they are against us. That's the first thing we can learn from Daniel. People often have a problem with Jesus. So Daniel, he hears this decree. He hears that everybody has to pray to the king. And you know what? If they don't pray to the king, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be taken, and they're going to be thrown to the lions. They're going to be thrown to the lions. So Daniel faces a choice. The choice is pray to God, worship God, or face the lions. Pray to God, and he will face the lions. What will he do? What does he do? What will we do? Well, if we know the story, we know that Daniel goes home, and he throws open his windows, he throws open his doors, and he gets down on his knees, and he prays. And he doesn't pray to king. The king doesn't pray to King Darius. He prays to the one true God. Even though he knows this will almost certainly mean that he will go and be thrown to the lions, even still, Daniel prays to God. And boys and girls, we can learn from Daniel that we need brave obedience. Obedience really just means doing what God wants us to do, following God. And Daniel was obedient and he was brave. He knew that God wanted him to pray to him alone. Didn't want him to pray to the king, not pray to anybody else. He wanted to pray to him, and Daniel was obedient and he was brave. Here's a question maybe for more for the mums and dads. Think about this. Remember, if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, whenever Jesus spoke to us about prayer, and he tells us whenever we pray, we're not to be like the Pharisees and we're not to be like the hypocrites. And he says that actually whenever you pray, don't go out and do it in public. We'll go into a private place and pray in private. But Daniel, whenever he went home, he went open and threw open his windows and threw open his doors. And he prayed, and really it was kind of a public statement he was making. I wonder, was he breaking what, or going against what Jesus would say about prayer? Was he being a Pharisee by praying in public and wanting everybody to see him? I wonder how you would answer that. I think the answer, as you probably guessed, is no. Daniel wasn't being a Pharisee. He wasn't opening his doors. He wasn't wanting people to see him and think, Daniel, you're such a great person because you pray. Daniel was making a public statement. He was publicly saying, I follow God. I follow the one true God. Daniel knew that everybody else was going to obey the king and going to pray to the king. And Daniel said, I can't let that happen. And so Daniel wanted everybody to know that the king is not a god. The king isn't the one true God. The only true God is the God of the Bible. So Daniel was making a public statement in front of everybody. Look, it's not about Daniel, not about how great he is, but he wanted to worship God and wanted everybody to see that God was the one true God. And there's times whenever we have to make a stand, maybe publicly, in front of our friends, maybe in front of people in our family, and we have to say, you know what? I am a Christian, and I'm not afraid of what you say. I'm not afraid of anything else. I am a Christian. Maybe you're starting a new class, a new school, and the sooner you do it, the better. The sooner you do it, the easier it is. The longer you leave it, the harder it becomes to finally say, I am a Christian. That's amazing and a really important thing that we do. We need brave obedience. It doesn't mean, as Denise says, that being bold for Jesus, being brave for Jesus, doesn't mean that we're nasty to people. Doesn't mean that we can be rude to people and can say, well, I was just telling them about Jesus. We have to be kind. We have to love people. But we need to be brave. And we can't be afraid to tell people about our faith. We need brave obedience. So he prays. And then, of course, what happens? We know what happens. The people who made this decree and told the king, they say, Daniel is praying. Let's get Daniel. So they go to the king and say, King Daniel is breaking your law. And the king is really upset. He's very sad because he actually loved Daniel. He didn't want Daniel to come to any harm. But he had made this law and he couldn't back out of it. He tried, but he couldn't think of any way to back out of it. So Daniel is taken and they take him and they throw him in to the lion's den. But there's something really interesting because whenever the king does it, he throws Daniel to the lion's den and then he says to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, where am I? May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. So he throws Daniel into the lion's den, but he says, may your God deliver you. That's really a bit strange thing to say because he's throwing Daniel into the lion's den and surely everybody knows that the lions will do what lions do and the lions will take care of Daniel. The lions will eat Daniel. But the king, for some reason, thought that maybe God would deliver him. And the king doesn't sleep all night. He doesn't eat all night. He can't think of anything else. And as soon as he gets up, he runs to the lion's den and he says, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? The king somehow had an inkling, somehow knew that maybe Daniel's God would deliver him. And I think that speaks of how Daniel's life spoke to the king's life. Daniel lived in such a way, because the king had no faith in God, but Daniel lived his life in such a way that he gave the king an impression that his God was the true God, and that his God was powerful, and his God was able to deliver. And what happened? Did he deliver? That these lions, they weren't nice, cuddly lions like these. They were fierce lions. They were more lions like that there. But did he deliver? Yes, he did, because God is in control. You know, I was on the jeep, I was in charge, but I wasn't in control. God is in charge, and God is in control. He was in control of his whole situation. Afterwards, whenever the king, who was such a mighty king, he could tell anybody to do anything, and they had to do it. Whenever the king saw what God had done, this is what he said. Speaking about God, he said, "He is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." We can go into school and we can be really afraid. The cool kids look so cool and they look so popular and actually really powerful. They can embarrass us and make fun of us. Our friends seem really scary. I don't want them to say anything bad about me. I don't want them to think badly of me and school. And it can all seem so scary. But we have to remember who is the one who's in control. And we seem really small and really weak. And maybe you think, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. And maybe I'll mess it up. But you know what? You're not the one who's in control. All you have to do is go in, be brave, be obedient, and trust God, because God is in control. Love your friends and tell them about Jesus. But trust God that he is the one who is in control. And you know, even sometimes God does something amazing and he rescues people from the lion's den. That was an amazing thing. But you know, sometimes God doesn't always do an amazing thing and rescue us from danger. Sometimes bad things do happen. Sometimes Christians have been thrown to lions and the lions' mouths have not been stopped. And people, Christians have faced even death. But sometimes God does allow bad things to happen. So we shouldn't read these stories and think that God will never allow anything bad to happen to me. Because sometimes bad things do happen. But you know, even in the bad times, God is still in control. We think of another person in the Bible who was really brave. People made false accusations against him and forced him to face death. We think of Jesus. And you know, God the Father didn't rescue God the Son. If you like, he didn't stop the lion's mouths. He allowed Jesus to be crucified and Jesus died. And something really bad happened to him. But you know, even in that horrible circumstance, God was in control. And God used that really bad circumstance. You might be going through a bad circumstance. You might have started school already and you might hate it. You might think it's awful. But you know, even in bad circumstances, God is in control. And God used the death of Jesus to rescue his people, to save us and bring salvation. Such an amazing thing. And you know, sometimes we will slip up, sometimes we will mess up, sometimes we won't be brave, and we will maybe deny Jesus the way Peter did. But Jesus died on the cross to forgive us. Sometimes we do fail, sometimes we do falter, but because of what Jesus did, we are forgiven, and we can trust in him. So boys and girls, starting back to school, or whatever you're facing tomorrow morning, sometimes people will have a problem with Jesus. I hope it doesn't happen to you, but it might, and it probably will at some point. Sometimes people have a problem, but we need to be brave, we need to be obedient, and trust that God is in control. We're going to let's pray, and then we'll sing. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you are in control. Thank you that you're the God who made every single one of us, and you're so powerful, and yet you know the hairs on our heads, and you love us and you care about us. Help us as we start back to school, or we start back to work, or do whatever we do tomorrow morning. Help us to trust in you, and thank you so much that you are in control of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.